What's up, College of Pharmacy? We hope you got some useful information and insights from our previous episode. As promised, we have another resident here to give you more insights about the residency application process. Our speaker today is another UGA Class of 2021 graduate, Dr. Becca Brunning.
Hey, Dr. Rebecca Brunin, we are so glad to have you here. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
Yes. So please call me Becca. But yes, I would love to tell you about myself. So I am currently a PGY1 pharmacy resident at the University of Kentucky Healthcare up in Lexington, Kentucky. I completed my PharmD at the University of Georgia College of Pharmacy. So I did complete an undergraduate degree. I got a Bachelor's of Science in Biochemistry, and that was actually from Anderson University in South Carolina. While I was there, I also played college tennis. So being a student athlete was a big part of my identity prior to pharmacy school.
So when did you figure out that you wanted to pursue a residency program?
So it's funny, it took me a long time to even decide on pharmacy, I guess, in the first place. But once I did, I feel like I was just amazed by all of the different things that pharmacists can do. And throughout first year, I became more involved in different pharmacy organizations that would expose me to a lot of these different pharmacists that had, you know, so many roles within community pharmacy, as well as within the hospital, ambulatory care, industry, you name it. There was a wealth of information thrown at me. Also in career opportunities too, you know, you get exposure to a lot of the different avenues. And so I think as I continued to discover what was beyond pharmacy school and picture some of my long-term career goals, I really thought that there was a lot of utility to postgraduate training in that I could continue to explore a lot of these different opportunities as well as develop myself further as a pharmacist and just a person in general.
What are like your goals currently?
For me, my goal is to complete a PGY2 and further specialize. I am in the process of deciding what specialty that might be, but you know, early commit and mid-year are coming up. So that's definitely on my timetable for like the next few weeks/month to kind of figure that out. But I think short-term, really focusing on that PGY2 and what area I want to specialize in, likely becoming board certified in that area. And then long-term, I really do see myself doing some kind of academia. I've always admired my professors that have been clinical faculty members that have had a clinical practice site, as well as been able to do some didactic teaching or precepting. And I really do enjoy interactions with students and mentorship and precepting. So that's definitely something I see being a large part of my career in the long term.
When you had that realization that you wanted to do residency, like approximately how many residency programs did you apply to?
I ended up applying to 12 different programs. 12 is kind of the soft max, I would say, nowadays. It's gotten very competitive and different programs, you know, are looking for different things in an applicant, the same as applicants looking at programs and what they desire. So I think 12 is kind of a pretty standard number of places to apply to.
What are some tips that you'd give us about interviews? So just preparing for everything when you apply.
Not going to lie, the application process is very stressful. Even if you feel prepared, you probably like aren't that prepared just because there's a lot of things that go into it. And so I think the main thing that I would recommend is starting early. Even at the beginning of my fourth year, when I started rotations, I was very fortunate to have a mentor, Dr. Andrea Newsom, on the Augusta campus. And she was fantastic at urging me to, you know, think about what kind of things I'm looking for in programs to try to narrow my program list, and then going ahead and just starting on a very tentative rough draft of a letter of intent. Because if you apply to 12 programs, you have to have like 12 letters of intent, right? And so just really planning ahead, because December comes up fast, especially when you're a fourth year, you know, adjusting to rotations and going through all of that. So I had so many questions, you know, what do I write in my letter of intent? How do I format my CV? What should I put on my CV? Who should I ask for letters of recommendation? There's a lot of questions. And so I would encourage everybody to really seek out a mentor, whether that's somebody who's faculty, whether that's somebody like me who's now been through the process, or somebody who's a year ahead of you that's going through the process. I think mentorship should really be emphasized more within pharmacy. You know, sometimes it feels very competitive, but, you know, really we should all be helping each other out in a way. So I would say the application process can be stressful. So definitely seek advice. Don't be afraid afraid to ask people questions. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and say, you know, I'm really nervous about this. I don't know what I should look for in different programs. I think a lot of the faculty at UGA are great about that. I know Dr. Welch and Dr. Brannon, Dr. Smith, like a lot of them have, you know, gone through residency programs. And I know I asked them quite a few questions through the process. So there's always those people there at the college that can help you as well.
So you said previously that you applied to 12. How many did you go to interviews for?
So out of the 12 programs, I did 10 interviews, and being virtual, from what I heard from people that were above me that had in-person interviews, the virtual interviews were a bit easier to coordinate as far as your APPE schedule. And just because there was less travel involved, you don't have to worry about the timing of flights or driving and then housing accommodations once you're there either. So it was obviously a lot of screen time with the virtual interviews, but maybe a little bit easier to coordinate from an APP hour standpoint, and possibly a little less fatiguing. I will say it's hard to be on camera for that long, and some of the interviews were 8 hours. So normally they would give you kind of a lunch break, but I had a couple where you had to eat on camera and everything too. So it did kind of simulate how it would be in person, right? Because if you were in person, you wouldn't have that time off camera. So I think it's hard for the program to get the vibes from you, and it can be hard for you to get the vibes from them. But I will say, I definitely was able to still, you know, get a feel for that program and how they would be in person and how I would interact with them. And I was very worried about that prior to the interview season. And I know a lot of program directors were probably worried about that as well, but I think it went better than I ever could have expected. So that was a huge relief.
So you mentioned it's 8 hours. I'm curious, how does that work?
It was really variable, but there were definitely a good amount of group scenarios. Normally, it would start out with all of the applicants that were there on that day. They had multiple different days, but I guess normally like anywhere from like 4 to 8 people they were interviewing on the same day. And so normally you would start out and kind of have an intro session, sometimes with the director of acute pharmacy care services or somebody at the hospital that was more in like a managerial position that would explain the layout of the pharmacy department at the hospital and what the pharmacy model was. Is it more centralized or decentralized, and kind of the interactions and the culture, I guess, of pharmacy at that institution. And then there would normally be time with like the program director individually to discuss, you know, if you had questions about the program, they would probably ask you questions. And normally that was more of a one-on-one session. And then other sessions would be to meet current residents, current preceptors, and talk to them. Some places would have different kind of games or like a survival scenario to also see how you interact with other applicants. And then sometimes they would have the multiple mini interviews where they might have like breakout sessions where they would give you a scenario and just kind of see how you would react or how you would act in a difficult, potentially like ethical situation, or try to get your like critical thinking process.
I like the interactions, the questions they ask you, even the interactive games. But what experiences do you have that helped you from the College of Pharmacy during your match process?
So I really can't emphasize like mentorship enough. Dr. Newsom was huge for me throughout this process, as was Dr. Welch. I had also reached out to people like Dr. Rusty May and Dr. Vitale because they were both very willing to do like kind of mock interviews. And I would encourage everybody to try to go through at least one mock interview prior to participating in residency interviews, just because it's one thing to kind of think through answers and like jot down, oh, I had this really good interview on this rotation, and I definitely want to talk about that. But it's another to actually like say it out loud and maybe practice being on camera and seeing if they have any feedback about your mannerisms. And also on camera, it's hard to look like you're making eye contact. And so for residency interviews, I would even have like a sticky note up at the top and try to remind myself, look at the camera, don't look at the screen, because then it looks like you're not making eye contact. And there has to be some leeway with those scenarios.
How did your involvement enhance your CV and help you tell your story?
I think it was instrumental. I was very involved in a lot of different organizations, but most of my leadership came from APHA, ASP, and I really experienced so much professional growth from my interactions and all of the volunteer and like coordinating events that I did through APHA, not only on a local level, but I think my involvement in a national position then also really helped escalate my knowledge of the organization as a whole, and then understanding too, like the impact that I could have, and just made me realize how much I enjoy being involved in organizations and how I think that will continue as I go into my career as well. And so I think that's one thing that's good to emphasize is this something you're doing just as a CV booster, or are you really passionate about it? And are you going to continue to be involved at the same level, or do you seek even higher level of involvement and kind of emphasizing those things in your application if possible, and then in your interview as well, will just really show, I think, a different level of maturity as well, and something that I think any program would be receptive to, because they also then see that you have some balance. You know, you were able to balance the pharmacy school, the academic aspect, as well as being involved in something bigger that can still have a different dimension of impact.
You just spoke whatever I was thinking when I joined organization. So I just wanted to say that. So knowing how much impact you want to make in that organization, it makes you want to do more things. And I understand the whole involvement with national level and everything. What advice do you have for students interested in residency?
I think, again, and you know, it's been something I've said multiple times now, but really find a mentor. Don't be afraid to ask those questions and be vulnerable and asking for help, you know, and I think peer mentorship can also be huge. If you don't feel as comfortable opening up to a faculty member, you know, you and your best friend are both interested in residency, do it together. Try to look at different programs, make like a collaborative Excel sheet, see what both of you are interested in. And then I would also just encourage everybody to think about kind of your non-negotiables. So what do you need to prioritize for your mental health? So just kind of trying to think about what can you not sacrifice going forward in residency, in your career. And then I would say having that self-awareness and practicing that during your fourth year, because that's really how you're going to set your habits and prepare yourself better for residency. And then as far as just like determining what programs you might be most interested in, really think about the longevity of it. And I know that's hard, but what are your possible long-term career goals? And what do you think this program offers that is going to get you there and is going to get you exposure to figuring out what you want to do and help you along your path?
Thank you so much for joining us. It makes us feel loved.
Thank you guys. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Dr. Becca Bruning, for such great insights. We appreciate you taking out the time to speak to us. We hope you, our listeners, enjoyed and learned from this episode. Our next episode is with Dr. Shannon Alexander, a regulatory pharmaceutical fellow. You guys, this is going to be a special one. You don't want to miss out on this episode. As always, we want to thank you, our listeners, for your support throughout our journey. Last but not least, don't forget to stay active on our social media at UGA Pharmcast 19 and let us know if you have any questions, comments, ideas, or feedback. Stay awesome, stay healthy, stay safe, and go Dawgs!